as here we are at the Cover 3 Athletics weekly podcast, as we talk about WPIAL football, City League football, week 3 is in the books, as it is at the time we're recording this, Monday, September 20th, doing it earlier this week. So let's talk about it. So we're just going to run through the games, class by class, the ones, you know, we'll talk about in depth some of them, the ones that kind of got out of hand, we'll just run through really quickly to keep this short, sweet, and concise. Okay, so we'll start off, so conference openers for Class 6A, and honestly, we had four games, and we had four blowouts. North Allegheny runs through Baldwin 61-14, as the Tigers, 472 yards of offense, they're up 42-0 at the half, as Kyle Hutchison had four grabs, 76 yards, two touchdowns. Andrew Hart ran for 109 yards for the Tigers. Baldwin had less than 150 150 yards as a team. Is Logan Kushner, Tanner Potts both kind of gone back and forth with Tigers as the quarterback says. Kushner did throw for three touchdowns, as well as Potts running for one, Jared Burton and a 40-yard scamper. So N.A. Cruz is the start. Central Catholic over Norwin 50-0. As it was 23-0 after one, 37-0 at the half. Vikings rolled once again. And again, and there's no details reported from that game, but and they such kind of dominated. It was pretty clear cut. Seneca Valley rolls over Hempfield 49-0. And the Spartans, they have been playing better the last these 3 weeks. A little bit surprising that they got to beat that. But Seneca Valley is hot right now. As it was scoreless after the first quarter, but the Raiders got it going. As Graham Hancock's in the second quarter alone threw two touchdowns to Luke Lawson, also ran for an 11-yard score. And then Alex Paulson and a block punt return for the Raiders was 27-0 at the half. And then Wyatt Craver's HR touchdown. Hancock's hit Aiden Lysick for a two-way conversion, then put the mercy rule in effect. Raiders win 49-0. And of course, Seneca Valley now three straight victories. As Hancock's posted 260 yards, Luke Lawson, 8 grabs, 152, and 3 touchdowns. And then we have Mount Lebanon and Kane and Mack, the game we went to. Mount Lebanon rolled to a 37-7 victory as it was 34-0 through 3 quarters. As the Blue Devils, they were the more superior team, and it was evident from the early get goes. Early on, they had a couple big plays. They drove down the field, and Alex Texas scored on a 3-yard run. And then later in the first quarter, Eli Heinrich took Joey Daniels past 84 yards of the house on a deep ball, made 14 zip. And then early second quarter, Texaco broke three for a 64-yard touchdown run. He finished with 97 yards rushing on the night. And then Joey Daniels found Heinrich, who took a little dump pass across the field, 32 yards of the house. That made 20-0 at the half. As a little KMAC point came in the fourth quarter on a 40-yard touchdown connection from Mike Evans to Anthony Finney. But Blue Devils roll 37-7. So that concluded 6A action as Daniels went 7-9 for 159 yards. Ryan Angad was held to 79 yards for the Big Macs in the loss there. So looking at the 6A standings real quick, Mount Lebanon, Central Catholic, NA, Seneca Valley, obviously all 1-0 conference play. Mount Lebanon, the only undefeated, as the other three are all 3-1 overall. And again, I mean, I think 6A, the way these opening games played out and just where we're at now, it's a clear divide of the top four and the bottom four. Seneca Valley's red hot, and they're just playing off momentum. They're making great plays. NA's, this is what we expected out of them. I mean, they had a tough two games against Ohio teams, which they did to build themselves up. And again, we're curious to see when they get to Seneca Valley, when they get to Central Catholic, when they get to Mount Lebanon. Those will be the big games to stare at and look at. And then all season, then, you know, really no surprises from the other two. So, and then honestly, the five teams make the playoffs. The bottom five, KMAC was kind of the team they thought would be the shoe-in to be the fifth. In our case, we thought they'd be fourth coming into it, but clearly it doesn't look that way after a couple weeks here. So it's a matter of who's going to be the fifth out of the bottom four, who's going to be the fifth team that can either just kind of take care of business or it's going to get in. So that'll be kind of a thing to watch. And see, you know, maybe one of these teams who did have a bad conference opening showing can, you know, learn from it, turn it around, get some wins, maybe pull an upset, and who knows. But that's what kind of 6A looks like quickly out of the gates. Shifting to Class 5A, still all non-conference games. As I'm looking at the scores here. Just give me a second, y'all. Penn Hills beat Woody High 14-13 in the Dream Shots Rivalry Series game. As Arecibo's had a 59-yard run to give the Wolverines early lead, but back came the Indians when the Duggar brothers connected Julian and Jaden on 33-yard pass to tie it up, and then Julian Duggar scored on 2-yard keeper at the end of the quarter. That was it until in the fourth, Deontay Williams had a 1-yard run. The PAT failed. That pretty much would be a wrap, as Deontay scored a 5:03 to go. As Penn Hills would run out the clock, Indians win, and they get the Dream Shots chain 14-13. Winners in that one. A big interesting game. Moon taking on North Hills. You know, North Hills started off strong. You know, Moon, they've been dominant. And the Tigers kept being dominant as Moon. They just punished North Hills. They pounded the rock. They aired it out. And the defense was absolutely dominant in this game. As Moon had 433 yards of offense, 291 on the ground. As they absolutely just were dominant. As his opening way is Moon forced a quick punt. They started out throwing 3-yard line, but the Tigers go 97 yards on the field, just pounding Dylan. And then Dylan Sleva, who ran for 90 yards on the night, scored on a 2-yard plunge. As then the ensuing kickoff, though, the Tigers squibbed it. They recovered it by surprise. They go down the field, and then another short run, quickly to make it 14-0. But then two plays later, Robert Dixon had a 59-yard catch run for a touchdown, then got the Indians on the board. That pretty much would be for the North Hills offense on the night, because basically Moon shut them down the rest of the game after the one big play. As then Tate Beachy had a couple big catches, including a 9-yard touchdown, as he had a nice little game. And then and Jacob Weiland, 32-yard field goal into the half, and gave the Tigers a 24-7 lead. And then third quarter, Joe Codd and Ian Foster both scored touchdowns. Foster had two of them on the night, and Foster's 20-yarder capped the scoring and sealed the deal. Moon behind a dominant defense, and then the power run game wins 38-7. I mean, it's been a pretty consistent script. It really has been. As a couple of North Hills turnovers hurt them in this game as well, and they just kind of rolled. And looking at things, we talked about Sleva's style. Tyler McGowan threw for 142 yards and a touchdown. Beachy had 5 catches, 76 yards, and the score. And other than Dickerson's big play, North Hills really didn't have much to go for on offense. So again, Moon goes to 4-0, and I think this is a huge statement win for them. As of course, for the Tigers, I mean, they've been consistent. They've been physical. They've pounded the rock. They've been efficient in passing the ball, but their defense has been lights out through the season. I think it's a big conference win for them. I mean, a non-conference win, excuse me. Well, North Hills, a tough back-to-back loss as they go to 2-2 now against, you know, quality, big-time teams that are playing really good football. How do you bounce back from that going forward with conference play looming for them? Fox Chapel beats Franklin Regional 13-9 as Kylie Patterson had a 70-yard catcher run to start the scoring. It was 7-3 going into the third quarter when Caden Smith had a 12-yard touchdown grab. A failed PAT, though, made a 9-7. And the only points of the fourth came when Colin Dietz threw his second touchdown of the night. This one to Colin Kwitanowski, 26 yards, a field PAT, wouldn't hurt them. Foxes win a low-scoring game, 13-9 would be the final. So the Foxes, hey, they racked up the win, predicted that one right for what it's worth. Franklin Regional, 3 straight losses after the big Week 0 win they had. Gateway Bethel Park and the Gators wasted no time as our guy Carson Englecoat, a 30-yard scoop and score, started this one off. And then Jaquan Reynolds, a rising sophomore for the Gators, with a 1-yard plunge. Dallas Harper, who's another kid to watch for them, had a 4-yard run, and the Reynolds returned to the end zone on a 3-yard plunge, making it 28-0 after one. And then Brad Birch found Patrick Barty, who made a nice 100 grab, 35 yards for the touchdown, made it 35-0. Max Blanc threw a touchdown pass to Ryan Petras, and then Birch to Barty again, 12 yards for the score. That made it 42-6, my apologies, and then Ryan Petras, who caught the 31-yard touchdown from Blanc, ran the ensuing kickback 88 yards, making it 42-13 at the half. That prevented the Mercy Rule from being a thing. as it was a scoreless third quarter. Then in the fourth, the game finally got sealed. Birch to body, 13-yarder. Gateway wins 49-13, the final there. As Birch threw for 288 yards and three scores all in the body. Had 10 catches, 457 yards. So Patrick Body again, 10 grabs, 157, 3 tutties. As, of course, he's the star going to Cincy, but heck of a game as a receiver there, showing he can all can do. Southfield, Shore Valley, a little neighborhood rivalry, and the Lions win this one 28-14. And Southfield scored a touchdown in every quarter. Kind of the easiest way to do this one. As Landon Lutz threw two touchdowns, a 9-yarder to Connor Hrasek in the first quarter, and then a 23-yarder to Logan Yater in the third quarter. Christian Brandy had a 94-yard kick return touchdown, which came in between Anthony Mackey 1-yard plunges in the second quarter. So the game was tied at 14 at the half. Safai took the lead into the fourth, and then fourth quarter, Lutz capped off this 10-yard scamper, 28-14 Lions victorious there. As looking at the there's really no stats to go with it. So Safai takes it on course again. Safai, they've taken care of business in 4 weeks for the most part. They've looked pretty sound. And that conference is going to be absolutely wild, meaning the Allegheny Six. Going a little bit around, Class 5A, though. Latrobe beats Mount Pleasant 35-0, and all the scoring was done in the first half. As Drake Clayton caught a touchdown and ran for one for the Wildcats as they cruise. Kiske area rolls over Connellsville 41-7. No surprises in that one, as Logan Johnson ran for three scores. Chad Hope of the Cavaliers scored twice, running for 148 yards, and the Kiske Cavaliers moved to 4-0. West Day Shaler, kind of one of those interesting games to look at, as West Day wins this one 24-0. As they just kind of nickel and dime their way, as Noni Tracy scored on a 6-yard run. Jason Spencer with a 10-yard touchdown grab. He also had a big interception later in the game. Tracy had a 4-yard run in the fourth quarter. West Day, again, just kind of cruise control to get the win. No summary or info is reported as McKeesport goes to New York and loses to Kansas 35-14. Pirates up for St. Clair. For whatever reason, don't have stats right now to this game. But PR wakes up and they destroy USC 35-14. It was 28-7 at the half. Rams never looked back, so they get off the schneid. Big win for them, which definitely could be a season saver or turnaround around for them. And then kind of the big hot marquee game in 5A, non-conference, of course, a rivalry that's been branded over the last 4 or 5 years. Peters Township went to Penn Trafford. And Peters Township, they're doing it with a bunch of new dudes. A bunch of new dudes are stepping up as... Starting off, Peters Township, they struck first. As Sam Miller to Carter Schanefeld, 4 yards for the score. 6-0 after Philip PAT. Second quarter, they went back up when Miller found Jake McCosco, 34-yard catcher on. 12-0 after another missed conversion. Penn Trafford fought back, though, as Katie Accomelli scored on a 6-yard run, kind of 12-7 at the break. And then the only point to the third quarter, Carter Green, the 10-yard keeper, the extra point made 14-12. But then the fourth quarter, all Peters Township. As Miller found Schanefeld 41 yards, giving the Indians a lead. Another failed conversion, it was 18-14. And after a stop, they go. Andrew Masucci, 34-yard field goal, made it 21-14. Then Peters Township bites the game late in the fourth. Ricky Woods, 43-yard touchdown run. The extra point would be good. Peters Township wins 28-14 the final. As the Indian defense, when it mattered, dominated in the second half, let alone the fourth quarter. Sam Miller throws for 162 yards. Three tutties as Carter Schanefeld caught two of them. And big win there for the Indians. And again, this was a statement game. Because both these teams, Penn Trafford, everyone's high on the end of the season. Peters Township, you wondered, they lost a lot to graduation. How they'd be, what would be rebuilding or retooling. But TJ Plack of them has done a brilliant job. An absolute brilliant job with this program to build it up. In a situation where they reload, they don't rebuild. And Peters Township... look at these guys. Peters Township, the new crew that's doing it for the Indians. Jake McCosco, Sam Miller, the quarterback, the younger Peffer, Colton, who's a tight end linebacker, Nico Pate, who's kind of the star of the team this year. I mean, you've got guys like Carter Shannonfeld, Bryce Thompson, Luke Petraka, who was another good. Masucci's been there for a while kicking. Ricky Woods, who's been stepping up. As well as Ethan Kirch, who had a big coming out week zero, and he's been solid. So there's some new dudes for Peter Township, and they're just reloading. So the Indians with a huge statement, 28-14 win at Penn Trafford. Let alone, what a way to bounce back after kind of was a flat performance against Mount Lebo. So 5A, no conference games have been played. Looking at things, I mean, Moon, phenomenal 4-0. West A's had the offense. Jay Sean Spencer, no Dean Tracy, are two just ballers who do things in all three phases. And then you have the quarterback, too. Pierce Township, like I said, they're solid. Soffitt's low-key 3-1, and they're looking to be getting some confidence. Upper St. Clair, you know, against Mount Lebanon and Pine Ridgeland, you lose those games by over 20 points each. The other two you've taken care of business in, but the Panthers, you wonder, you know, what's going on. And then Bethel Park, you know, you're 1-3. You've had a tough non-conference schedule, but you've still been outscored by about 36 points in four games. And you take out the 35-0 win over Baldwin they had. You know, it hasn't been exactly pretty. So, so Bethel Park, though, it's one of those things where I think if they can get a big win and score an upset early, they could still be dangerous in the Allegheny Six. The Big East, you know, Gateway, other than one little setback, they're 3-1. And then, like I said, Penn Trafford's kind of surprised at 2-2, I think. And I think, it's just kind of, Penn Trafford at times, they haven't been able to score the ball, which has been a little surprising. Latrobe, they've shown the ability to score points. It's a matter of how the defense is able to stop people or not. Franklin Angel, I think, has got to be disappointed with how they've kind of fallen apart the last 3 weeks here. Well, Woody High, get this. In four games, they have three losses. They've given up 36 points in four games, and they've lost three of them. They've scored 39. That's insane. I mean, look at their losses real quick. I mean, Woody High lost 7-6 at McKeesport, 15-0 against Moon, 14-13 at Penn Hills. So literally the Wolverines are 2 points, we'll say 4 points away from potentially being a 3-win team. So watch out for Woody High. Continuing the mantra of the team, you don't want to play an interesting game next week. Well, I guess this week, as it is Monday. Woody High hosting North Hills before their conference opener against Penn Trafford. So Woody High, it's going to be an interesting 2 weeks for them because the way Penn Trafford's kind of struggled, you don't know how this could turn around. And the Big East and the Northeast Colts. Kiski's undefeated 4-0. The Kiski Cavaliers taking care of business, but we'll see when the schedule gets harder for them. Everybody else is 2-2. Penn Hills, PR both have one win at this point. But again, PR, a win they had to have to get off the schneid, try to get some momentum and confidence. Penn Hills, I feel like it was a confidence building win for them too. So those two took care of their business that they needed to with Shaler, North Hills. You wonder, back to back losses in their own fashions. You wonder how those two rebound this week before they start conference play next week. Fox Chapel, back-to-back wins, it's positivity in the Northwest. Now let's talk about Class 4A. Conference play kicked off. And we'll look at the Big 8 Conference to start as Laurel Highlands holds off Ringgold 32-49. It's 32-29. My apologies if I slurred there. But it was Ringgold jumping out of this game. As DeAndre Dotson found Dante Kynes for 24 yard touchdown. Landon Olszewski scored on a 4 yard run. And it was 13-0 Rams. But then, and the Ram defense was strong early on. But then Ronnie Gallagher, the game breaker he is, the star he is, the Mustang Demon's got to stop. And he takes the punt. Gallagher goes 90 yards of the house, make it 13-7. And then second quarter, team's trade touchdowns as Olszewski had a run. Gallagher hit Keandre DeShields for a 10-yard score. It was 21-14 at the half. The only points of the third quarter came on a Mustang field goal. And then fourth quarter, the Mustangs, they came to life. But not just quickly, because John Polifka scored on a 3-yard run. The 2-week conversion would be good. All of a sudden, this game was 29-17 Ringgold. But Gallagher and the Mustangs found a way as Gallagher scored on runs of 6 and 2 yards. He completed a 2-week conversion to cap off the scoring. The Laurel Highland defense, what it mattered, got the stops they needed to. And like that, Laurel Highlands, for the first time ever, is 4-0, pulling it out in the conference opener, 32-29. But I think it says a lot about both teams. Shows a lot about Laurel Highlands, who is kind of on a magical season right now. I don't think it's a surprise to anybody to say that. And Ringgold, who the last couple of years has been a rough go of it, talk about a showing. I mean, you know, honestly, other than the last about 8 minutes of the game, they seem to be in control of it and be right there with them. They just didn't finish it. But give credit to Gallagher and the Lower House for finding a way to win. TJ rules Trinity 49-7. This game was 35-7 at the half. Joe Lexke had a 30-yard pick six to start things. He had an 8-yard run later. Connor Merger scored on touchdown runs of 59, 43, and 5 yards. Lexke also threw a touchdown pass to Sean Sullivan. Pretty much at TJ rolls. Belver ended the same, being West Mifflin 49-3 in this game. As Devin Whitlock had a 40-yard touchdown pass to Chase Rokokoen. And then Quinton Martin had touchdown runs of 7 to 84 yards in the first quarter. At the second quarter, Martin scored again on a 35-yarder. Whitlock hit Tanner Stever for an 18-yarder. It would be 35-3 at the half. Leopards take care of their business. Get a win to start their conference play in style. As Whitlock threw for 177, Martin ran for 160. In Bell Vernon's victory. Then we go to the Greater Allegheny. Highlands goes to Mars, and Mars fought hard. I mean, they fought hard as Chandler Timmons threw a 2-yard touchdown to Brock White. Marafa Bardi threw a touchdown pass to Chris Dora. It goes 7-7 at the half. Third quarter, though, Hounds took control as Timmons hit Landon Cingarello on touchdown passes of 26 to 59 yards. Mars then stopped a punt on the end zone in the fourth quarter. Highlands wins this game behind its defense, I think, more so 22-7. Indiana Plum, 78 points were scored. And it started with a field goal, but then the touchdowns became flying as Devin Flint scored on runs of 1 and 3 yards for the Indians in the first quarter. In between them was an Eric Moore 81-yard kick return. It was 13-10 Indians after one. And then in the second quarter, teams traded touchdowns as Sean Franzi threw a 23-yard touchdown pass to Darian Nelson, but vacuum Indiana Flint with a pair of 1-yard runs. But after his second one, Logan Brooks had a kick return of 77 yards. At the half, it would be 27-24 Indiana. But then things slowed down a little bit in the second half. As third quarter, Franzi threw a 57-yard touchdown to Moore. Two more, so took it off. Zach Harrington had a 4-yard run for Indiana. And then in the fourth, Samoa Pitts had an 89-yard catch and run, which made things 37-33. But Indiana came down the field late. And Devin Flint, for the fifth time in the night, scores a touchdown, this one on another 1-yard run. Extra point did it. Indiana held, and they get the win, 41-37. So the Little Indians, I think it's a statement win for them. You know, as they go to 3-1, Plum falls to 0-4. That's a game kind of Indiana. If you want to make a move, you gotta have. Greensburg Salem beats Knock 34-13 on the road. As Hayden Teska and the Golden Lions of Southern Bruin, as him and Jaden Stevens hooked up for touchdowns of 64 and 8 yards in the first quarter, and then Rashawn Cannaday took care of the scoring the rest of the way as he scored on a 3-yard run before the half. Then he had a 14-yard and a 4-yard touchdown in the fourth quarter to ice it. 34-13 Golden Lions get the win as Keegan Frazier had 2 touchdowns in defeat for Knock. Well then, Armstrong and Hampton, a big game in this conference too. As the only point of the first half came early as Caden Olsen had a 1-yard run for the Riverhawks. Then the third quarter, Hampton tied it on Christian Liberto's 9-yard scamper. Fourth quarter, Liberto scored again on an 8-yard run, only for Olsen to score again on a 1-yarder. It was 14-14 each. When then Hampton went down the field, and with a minute 51 to go, Brock Borger scored on a 14-yarder. Matt DeMatteo's extra point was good to make it 21-14. But then Olsen and Armstrong quickly went down the field. And with 39 seconds of play, Olsen found Isaiah Brown for a 30-yard touchdown, making it 21-20. They decided to go for two, but the pass would be incomplete. Hampton around the clock, and the Talbots hold on 21-20 to get to 4-0. And they survive again. It was a thrilling finish to this game as Liberto led Hampton with 141 yards on the ground. Borgo added 78 rushing yards. One defeat, Olsen for Armstrong throws for 117, runs for 93, just not enough. As Hampton with a big win to open up ground gaining plays. By the way, GS stats, Texca threw for 173, and then you had 105 yards rushing by Cannaday. And that one, just to kind of get that out there really quick. Got a couple of non-conference games here. Newcastle rolls Summit Academy 48-4, and yes, that's 48-4. There's a pair of early safeties that made it 7-4, but then the Red Hurricanes had no issues. Alco Pinoshu with an average 56-0. And then Montour no issues 34-6 over Hopewell. As Caleb Williams ran for 2 touchdowns for the Spartans in that one. Going to Class 3A. Let me see here. As some non-conference in Class 3A. Central Valley rolls Blackhawk 38-3. As Landon Alexander scored on touchdowns of 11, 11, 33, and 61 yards. As it was 3-0 after the first quarter, but then it became 38-0 after 3. So staying there for the Warriors. Quaker Valley over Berlin 16-12. As it was 6-0 until the third quarter when the Quakers got going. As a safety got them on the board. And Connery Bulger hit Jacob Pickett for a 26-yard touchdown. Lamar Williams had a 28-yard touchdown catch, a second in the night from Jace Keeb in the fourth to make things 12-10. But then late in the game, Patrick Cutkemmer scored on a 1-yard plunge. That would be the winning points, and the Quakers win 16-12, so a little bit of excitement for them. This is the one Alexander ran for 205 yards for Central Valley, by the way. Then we'll get to the conference games that were in 3A. As in the interstate, Southmoreland beat South A 33-19. Elizabeth Ford got back on the right track, being Brownsville 44-0. South Park holds off York 14-0. Let's take a closer look at these games. All scores down the first half for the Warriors. As Zion White threw 3 touchdown passes, 2 of them to Zach Boyd. You had a punt return for the Warriors as well. And then Charles Nigut actually had the return, caught had a touchdown catch and ran for one, so full day for him. South Park scored a touchdown each of the first 2 quarters, and Adam Johnson, 87-yard pick 6 highlighted. And then for the Scotties, they jumped up to a 13-0 lead, never looked back. As basically, after that, it was a pretty even game. It was 20-6 at the half. They traded 13s in the third quarter. Nobody scored the fourth. Is Anthony Govern. He ran for 3 touchdowns. Also threw a 35-yarder to J.J. Bloom. And actually, so he threw a 25-yarder to Isaac Trout. So Governor accounted for all 5 Scotty touchdowns. As Eric Ware in defeat threw for 2 scores, highlighted the 50-yarder to Kel Carrington late. So it was actually 33-13 before a late touchdown there. The Southmoreland gets to win 33-19. The defense, I think, is impressive, keeping it, you know, them under 20 points. And then in the Allegheny 7, Deer Lakes over Derry 49-0 in that one. As Derek Burke threw a pair of touchdowns to Connor Walker. As then Walker also threw a touchdown as well, so the Lancers had no troubles there. East Day beats Burrell 30-21. No info was given about that one. And then North Calico over Valley 49-0. It was 35-0 at the half. As a little bit of a quarterback back up there is Jason Sickett for the Trojans. He threw 5 touchdowns in this game, as Liam Straub caught a 32-yarder and 16-yarder. Kyle Tabaniski scored on 2 30-yard passes. Tyler Mazzaros had a 76-yard catch and run. Chase Arrington had an 8-yard run in the third quarter. And then Straub also had a rushing touchdown. So North Calic, no issues there. They rolled to the victory over Valley in that. And then a big non-conference game, 3A versus 2A. Starrocks taking on Avonworth. And again, this was a good game a year ago. It was a good game this year, too. As this game was back and forth, having 5 lead changes, excuse me. As again, you know, both these teams are title contenders in their respective classes. Both have high hopes for this year. So it was a good game. As it was scoreless after one. As an Aberworth field goal gave them the early lead, only for then. And then Aberworth to be driving, looking for something towards the end of the half. But again, they turned it over, and then again, Aberworth got the ball back late in the half. Jamar Pearson, the 15-yard pick 6, gave the Vikings a 6-3 lead at the break. Third quarter, Ian Syme had a 4-yard run. Tamir Hall scored on a 3-yard run. Then Syme scored again on a 27-yard scamper. It would be 16-12 after 3. The nailing points of the fourth quarter came on Austin Jones' two-yard keeper. They kicked the extra point to go up 19-16 in the game. As Jones, at that time, Jones captured going 8-play, 75-yard drive. As Jones scored with over 10.5 minutes going to the ball game, the Viking defense just dominated. Starks came with a couple big stops. As they're calling it, Starks University with a 19-16 victory to go to 4-0. As J.M.R. Pearson, who had the pick six, ran for 86 yards to lean them on the ground. Jones threw for 176. As he also, as Alex said, in the winning drive, he didn't miss. But then in defeat, though, Ian Syme ran for 149 yards. But again, Starks, they won this game because the defense made plays. It was better. Also, special teams helped them. So, big win for them there. And then we'll just do the non-conference games in 2A now. Still Valley beat Keystone Oaks 32-13 as Najee Burt runs for 285 yards and 5 touchdowns. The power of the Ironman to victory in this game. As Najee Burt, again, 285 on the ground. He scored on runs of 6-2 in the first quarter. Had a 65-yard jaunt in the second quarter. He scored on a 6-yard run in the third and then a 70-yard spurt in the fourth to ice it. The Ironman defense dominated as well, keeping KO to his 13 points, which a pair of Nick Buckley TD passes wasn't enough. 32-13, Steel Valley making a statement. Ligonier Valley rolls Frazier 33-6. Shadyside rolls Carleton 43-7. 24 of those points came in the second quarter. And Max Wicklin had an 82-yard touchdown pass, a 77-yard touchdown run. With Isaiah Greer had a 14-yard rushing score and an 84-yard kick return. Chris Sullivan had 2 touchdown runs for the Bulldogs there. And then Sarah Catholic rolls Seton LaSalle 40-10 as Farrow Fisher, as he scored on 2 runs. Also had a short touchdown catch from Max Rocco, who also had a touchdown pass to Javon Campbell Holt. And Amir Spencer, who took 52 yards of the house. Troy Booth had a pick 6 as well. As the Eagles were up 20-0 at the half, 13 in the fourth quarter, put the game away. Southside Beaver beat Carrick 47-0, all scoring being done in the first half, as Parker Stylider ran for 3 touchdowns of 24, 38, and 52 yards for Southside Beaver there. And then a quick note, as the Paul Ridge Freeport, that game was canceled, so they didn't get to play. So then the conference games that featured 2A teams, the Century, Shar Houston has no issues with Beth Center 29-0. McGuffey does likewise with Charleroi 41-0. Wash High, pretty much the same as AB Waynesburg 57-14 in this game. As Waynesburg, well, they got so excited as Braden Woods took the opening kick back 84 yards, but then it was all Wash High scored the next 57 points as Tayshawn Levy in runs of 64, 27 yards for a touchdown. Zach Welsh had a 20-yard run. Devon Fuse had a 31-yard keeper. Then threw a 55-yard touchdown pass to Reuben Gordon. Mario Griffin had a pick 6. Carlos Harper, 55-yard run. And then Elijah Oldham had a 22-yard run. So, Wash High wins that one big and bad. As, let's see. As Levy had 122 yards on the ground for the Prexies. Woods had his 24 yards rushing. After being on a tear the first couple weeks, Wash High had almost 400 yards on the ground by themselves. So nothing crazy there. It's for sure Houston, really quick. Jordan Erson ran for 3 scores in that game. Then the Midwestern Conference, Freedom rules Riverside 34-7. As it was only 14-7 at the half, and then a 29-answer in the third put the game away. As Carter Slowinski, as he threw 4 touchdowns, as 2 of them to Josh Yeck. Another one to Josh Pale. Then he had an 83-yard scoring touchdown himself. So talk about carrying the load on your shoulders. As Slowinski led them with 99 yards rushing. 3-for-144. So the Bulldogs get a nice Midwestern opening win. And otherwise in the Midwestern Conference, what else happened? Mohawk upsets Neshanic 15-7. So talk about the Mohawk Warriors. I mean, defense, offense enough. As Josh Wilkins, the unsung hero, 3 field goals from 25, 35, and 37 yards. As it was 9-7, and then Mohawk went down the field, and then John Voss on a 16-yard keeper put the game away as they failed the conversion, but the defense held one last time. Mohawk gets the win as Cameron Owens had a 97-yard pick six. That was it. So Mohawk absolutely dominated by the defense, a huge upset in the Midwestern. New Brighton, though, took care of business in Ellen City 34-6. They scored in every quarter as Gabe Haddocks for them. He threw for four touchdowns in this game, three of them to Keandre Williams, another one to Eric Montanez. So the Lions get a win they needed to. And the big game, Laurel and Beaver Falls, what an opportunity for the Spartans. And boy, do they take it there. As looking at this game, as it was 3-0 early after one, but then Jaron Brickner had a 7-yard keeper for the Tigers, but then back came Laurel as Luke McCoy, 32-yard scamper, made it 10-7, only for then Trey Singleton's 3-run made it 14-10 at the half. Third quarter, Singleton scored again on 8-yarder. That made things 21-10. So you're thinking, okay, here we go, Beaver Falls. They're going to get rolling. But not so fast, because the ensuing kickoff, McCoy takes it 75 yards to the house. That made things 21-17. And then again, the Laurel defense came up with a couple big stops. And then shortly after, I think it was a fourth down stop, around a little bit, you know, into Laurel territory. Kobe DeRosa on a QB keeper, 57 yards to the house. That made things 24-21 early in the fourth quarter. Beaver Falls got backed about in the ensuing kick. They were backed. They ended up botching it in their own goal line. Laurel gets a safety to make it 26-21. The ensuing possession, they waste no time. McCoy goes 48 yards untouched. That made things 32-21. The Spartans got another stop. The offense bullied down the way and lay in the fourth quarter iced it. DeRosa on the 1-yard plunge. Laurel goes 22 unanswered. They win 39-21 the final. And the Laurel Spartans with a huge, huge, huge victory in this conference. And Laurel, watch out for them as they win 39-21 at home over Beaver Falls to open up Midwestern play and definitely put the conference on notice and maybe 2A on notice, as that's a huge victory for them. And the way they did it, 22 unanswered all in the fourth quarter. The defense stepped up and made big plays, got stops when it absolutely had to. They didn't give up any big plays. They didn't give up a big scoring play or really any like huge plays all night. And then the offense behind McCoy and DeRosa, you know, like you expected to, those two took it in their hands and made the big play to give Laurel a huge victory for them early in the season. And kind of taking a quick look, so 2A, the Three Rivers, no conference play. Starhawks is 4-0. They've done it. Their defense, I think, has been the unsung part of the team. They're giving up less than 6 points a game. Southside, Western Beaver, both 3-1, right there. And again, when those three all take turns, that's going to be where you'll watch this conference unfold. When Brownwood, Carlton, and Salem Hill all 1-3. In the Allegheny, Ligonier Valley, Sarah, both 4-0. They're going on a crash course, you know, when they meet up. But the 3-0 Steel Valley Ironmen, don't overlook them. Steel Valley is back behind the Burke Brothers and Company. Shadyside's low-key 3-1. They're going to be tough to beat. With an apology and a Summit Academy, both in rebuilds, have yet to win. The Century, Wash High did what it's expected to. So did McGuffey. Shar Houston's a surprise, though. A shutout win. They're 3-0. They're only getting up 7 points in their three wins. Wash High's 4-0. McGuffey's 2-2. Waynesburg's 1-3. Within the bottom of the conference is yet to win a game, being Beth Center and Charleroi, and the biggest disappointment being Frazier. The Midwestern, the Laurel Spartans are 4-0, and one of the four 1-0 teams in Midwestern play. Freedom, New Brighton, and Mohawk are the other teams that won the opener. They're all 2-2 overall. Neshinnik's 3-1, 0-1 in the conference. Well, then at the bottom, Elwood City, Riverside, and the surprise, Beaver Falls combined to be 0-8 on the season. Each 0-1 in conference play. Of course, Beaver Falls had a pretty tough schedule to start, so you expect them to kind of turn around. But they don't have much room for error for Beaver Falls. You got to kind of get this going as you get Elwood City at home. So kind of like the perfect time for that game. That's going to be tough going at 2 New Brighton. Then they get Mohawk and Freedom. So this conference is very tough. It's literally a week-by-week thing. So you don't really much time to kind of dwell on it. And going back to look at 3A really quick, the Northwestern 6 hasn't played conference games yet. Central Valley's undefeated. Averworth, that was their first loss. KO now back-to-back losses. Kind of not the good time to start losing games. And then the rest of the conference is going to be 1-10. the Interstate, Southmoreland, they've looked to be the best team to this point. They're 3-1. EF got back on the right track with the dominant win over Brownsville. South Park got off the schneid. But the rest of the conference is combined. Brownsville, South A, York are combined 0-11. South A, I think, is kind of the biggest disappointment in that group. Mount Pleasant's 2-2, but again, a disappointing loss against La Trobe. And the Allegheny 7. North Cadillac's undefeated as expected. East A, you know, starts off strong. Deer Lakes, I thought, was an impressive showing over Derry. I know Derry's rebuilding, but I thought the way Deer Lakes won that game was impressive. And again, it's a great way to kind of launch themselves forward. Burrell and Valley, both frustrating as they're all 0-4. Then Freeport didn't play their 1-2. The Yellow Jackets don't need to kind of get going and figure it out on both sides of the ball if they're going to be a contender this year. And then in 4A, the Parkways, you have to play a conference game. Newcastle take care of its business, as is Aliquippa. Shore Valley, they've been in some dogfights last couple weeks here. They got to kind of figure it out going forward, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Blackhawk, they've had a challenging non-conference schedule. Will it help them or hurt them when things turn into the conference slate? Then Montour gets a win. Can they kind of build them up and see what they do later on? And then the Greater Allegheny, Hampton's undefeated. I mean, they've been winning these tight, close games, and I think it's going to make them better. But again, at some point, you need to find a way to not have to rely on some type of late game heroic. It's going to catch you in the butt eventually. Highlands, I think it's been the most impressive going 4-0. You weren't sure you were going to get out of them this year, but they've found ways, and it's the defense that's really done, allowing 5 points a game. Greensburg Salem's 3-1. Indiana's also 3-1. You know, and then Armstrong, who has been probably one of the funner ones to watch out of these eight teams, is 2-2 after a heartbreaking loss. Knox 1-3. Mars and Plum combined, or they're both 0-4. And think about them, Mars, they've scored less than 7 points a game. Plum's given up 40.5 a game. So the top two from a year ago, now the bottom two. This conference, I think, is just getting started with how interesting it's going to be, though. And the Big Eight, you expect the Belvoir and TJ McKeesport all to have 3 wins at this point. Ringgold's 2-2. They nearly could have had that third win as well. Trinity and West Mifflin both have to be frustrated after losing by a heck of a lot versus kind of the big dogs in the conference. And Laurel Highlands have 4-0. Right now, the feel-good story, finding a way to fight through adversity, coming back and pulling it out. And, of course, coming up this Friday is the Belvoir and TJ clash. Mark your calendars, obviously. But looking at Laurel Highlands, the next 4 weeks are going to make or break their seasons. They host West Mifflin, then they go to Belvoir, and then both at home, though, TJ and McKeesport. So the Mustangs, this is going to be a magical year. You had the thrilling comeback win. You're feeling good. West Mifflin might be looking their chops a little bit. It's in your house. And then you never know, Belvoir and TJ, it's a big game. It's always physical, regardless of the outcome. You never know. So, things are set up where if Laurel Highlands plays their best football, keeps it going, you just don't know. Because, again, Laurel Highlands, not used to having success, you just don't know. Things line up, and they might be able to make a run if they play their cards right. Now let's go to 1A, as 1A was conference play central. Let me get my stuff switched here really quickly. As in the Big 7, Fort Cherry rolls Shenango 35-7. They scored 21 of it in the third quarter. They were actually up 35-0 after three. Max Trucial doing his thing. Scored on a 36-yard run. Threw a touchdown pass to Dylan Rogers. And Shane Cornally had 2 50-plus yard pick sixes in the game for the Rangers. Mitchell Cook also had an 83-yard pick six. So Shenango was able to move the ball, just couldn't finish. But the Rangers get a win they needed to have if they're going to make a playoff push. Cornell beats Northgate 42-18. As it was kind of just a solid game. Sincere Kimbrough for the Raiders as he ran for 2 touchdowns. He also threw one to Timmy Henderson, who also had a 95-yard pick six of his own. As Kimbrough actually threw another touchdown, I'm sorry, so he counted for 4 of them. Old Schrolls, Burgettstown 33-13. And then kind of the one that made you raise your eyebrows, Union upsets Rochester 16-0, as all of it came in the fourth quarter, as Jackson Clark had both tutties. Now, rumor has it that Rochester was missing about half of their starters, for no reason why. At the end of the day, you got to play the game. Union fights hard to win 16-0. And again, it's a huge wrench in the early Big 7 slate. As for 4, Cherry Trucial ran for 109 yards. He threw for 69 to carry them offensively. But yeah, it's all kind of the extra we had for that. In the Eastern Conference, Cadavan Springdale is a huge game, and the Crusaders get the win 13-10. Jason Cross threw 2 touchdowns, a 13-yard to Azon Marshall and a 38-yard to Xavier Nelson. Springdale scored the final points in the third quarter on John Utis's 5-yard run, but in the Crusader defense, which has been dominant all season, dominates the final quarter as they shut out Springdale. And Bishop Cadavan, 13-10 winners on the road. Huge victory there. And they go to 4-0. And as of right now, they are alone in first place in the Eastern Conference, as well as the only undefeated. The Jeanette Jayhawks got the shine as they beat Riverview 28-6. 21 of it came in the first quarter as Tyler Horn, as he counted for 3 touchdowns, as he threw 2 scores to Zaire Petty and Andrew Ross. Then he scored on a 45-yard keeper. And then Peyton Miller had a pick 6 in the second half to ice it for the Jayhawks. So feel good for them to get out the shines. Those kids have fought hard through a lot of adversity that's really not their fault. So they fought hard through it. Well, then Imani Christian forfeited to GCC, so the Centurions get that win via forfeit. And then Leechburg, Clariton, the big game in the Eastern, like we said, you know, if not now, when for the Blue Devils, who are trying to snap a 33-yard playoff drought. And this was their chance to do something good. But Clariton, bigger, more physical, faster, stronger, used to winning. And that proved to be the difference in the game that, again, Leechburg did its best it could. They hung around. But the Clariton Bears, just too good at the end of the day. And again, Clariton Bears, back on track as Janelle wins, Clariton wins. Things seem a little bit normal now in the Whippoorwill. As early on, though, Leechburg jumped out as Tommy Burke found Logan Klein for a 23-yard pass. But then Brooklyn Cannon took a Capone Jones past 48 yards of the house. It was 8-6. Leechburg. But then Capone Jones scored on a 1-yard plunge to make it 12-8. That means we're going second quarter. But then in the second, though, you would have Tyler Foley take a Burke pass 99 yards to the house. A failed kick, though. It is like that, it would be 14-12. But then after that, it was all Clariton as Cameron Lewis scored on runs of 30 and 68 yards. As the first one made it 20-14 at the half. And then the second half opened up with his 68-yarder. Christian Wayne had a 22-yard run. And then Braylon Lovelace stopped the bleeding with a 60-yard jaunt. But then Capone Jones scored on runs of 4 and 2 yards. And just like that, it would be 48-21 early in the fourth quarter. Before then, Burke, Eli Rick, 16-yard pass. A failed conversion, though, was 48-27. Clarendon got the ball around the clock. Bears with a statement bounce-back win. 48-27 the final. As a Cameron Lewis, as his 60-yarder was the first play of the second half. So talk about a statement there. As at the end of the day, Clariton's defense dominated this ball game. As let's see, as the Bear defense had, I believe, 8 sacks, had a bunch of big hits. As Keith Mee and Chris Underwood, they're the ones who kind of stole the show, as well as, like I said, Brooklyn Cannon, his best game of the season. Cameron Lewis broke out for the Bears running the ball. Capone Jones had a solid game. So as Jones threw for 95 yards, he also ran for 123. Cameron Lewis ran for 119. We're in defeat, though. Tommy Burke throws for 360 yards and 3 scores, but he also got picked off 3 times. Eli Rich, 5 grabs, 117 yards. Logan Klein, 7 for 92 yards there. But again, the Clariton Bear D, 8 sacks, 3 interceptions. Roll Clariton with a 48-27 win. And this win kind of gets them back on track for their season. And also, he reshakes the Eastern Conference up. Looking at then, in the Tri-County South, Carl Michaels rolls Mapleton 44-18 as Trenton Carter. He scored on runs of 1 and 46 yards, then threw a 31-yarder to Mike Stewart. A scoop and score made things 30-6 at the half. But then Carter scored on runs of 7 and 20 yards in the second to ice it. as Landon Stevenson had 3 touchdowns and a defeat. Carmichael's out with a 44-18 victory there. So a huge win is Carter ran for 216 yards for the Mikes. He also threw for 64. Keeping it going. Manessen over Benworth 50-7. So no info there. But good for the Greyhounds. Huge win for that program. Well, then Jefferson Morgan beats Avella 32-0. Known for a record, but JM scored in every quarter. So a couple big victories for the bottom half there. And then the big highlight game, West Green and Cal squared off. And the West Green Pioneers, talk about a statement victory. After a rough first 2 weeks, they got the Chennai in week two. Now week three, they had a big win. As Corey Wise started with a 31-yard run. And then Colin Brady, 62-yard job, made 17-0. They traded second quarter touchdowns as Wise from 2 yards out and Brady on a 57-yarder. Gave West Green a 31-14 halftime lead. As in between, though, Hunter Assaw threw touchdowns of 80 yards to Caden Powell, 39 yards to Connor Vig. But then the third quarter, 17 unanswered, put the game away for the Pioneers. As in that span, Brady had another 14-yard run. As the final points came in the fourth on Ethan Fike's 17-yard touchdown grab, but it wouldn't matter. West Green dominates. The defense shook it up, and they win 48-22 in the final. As Wise ran for 161 yards, Brady ran for 178. As Brady had 3 touchdowns, Wise had 2. Again, West Green behind the 1-2 punch of a running attack they did, and the best defensive performance of the season. They dominated. They win 48-22 to open up Tri-County's side of play in style. So let's see. So checking that out really quick. So I just gotta get the stats up. So the big 7-1A, Olsh, no surprise on top. Fort Cherry and Union, both of them 1-0 conference play, a bit of a surprise. There's all of them with 3 victories. Cornell got the conference opening win, and then Burgett South suffered its first loss, as did Rochester. Northgate looks better, but they're still in the losing column. Chenango got the win. In the East, Kahneman is 4-0. GCC is 3-1. Clarendon, Jeanette both off the schneids. That's the top half of the conference. Now, Leechburg, Springdale both 3-1 with the conference loss to open up. Imani River, you make the bomb. And then the TCS, Carmichael's is 3-1. Manessen, West Green, back-to-back wins to get to 500. And then JM off the schneid, all win their conference openers. The losing half, Cal, their first loss of the year. Mapletown's 2-2, Benworth and Avella combined to be 1-6 at the bottom there. So that's where it's at after the first couple weeks of the season. And then on Saturday, 2 things to talk about. Western Beaver beats Beaver River, non-conference play 20-14. Estad Gray had a 31-yard run. Xander Lefebvre had a 4-yard run. And then Lonnie Kraft blocked a punt, returned it before they had to make it 20-7. The last, Weiringer scored a rushing touchdown for Beaver. The last points came on a 90-yard pick 6 by Josh King, but was enough. Western Beaver wins 20-14. And then the other one, Alderdice, Westinghouse, all Bulldogs. Westinghouse wins this game 41-12, and that'd be the score after 3 quarters. As Cleo Taylor had a punt return, Devon Fennell had a pick 6 of 100 yards, Malik Harris had 2 rushing touchdowns with the high being a 70-yarder. Key Marcello had a 16-yard run, also threw a 46-yard touch pass to Caron Collins. As Alderdice had a kick return touchdown to wrap it up, but Westinghouse dominated in this game. As Malik Harris went in with 146 yards rushing. So that would be that for Saturday's action. And then, and looking at the City League from earlier on Friday, University Preppy Perry 36-8. As it was 6-0 Perry after a scoop and score, but that was all UPrep as they scored 30 unanswered in the middle 2 quarters. As Keon Smalls ran for 2 touchdowns, he also threw 2 touchdowns to Rashawn Murray. That pretty much be it. 36-8 there. And then Bashir gets in the win column, defeating Erie High on the road 26-12. As Brandon Pizzell hit Daquan Griffin for a 75-yard touchdown, and they hooked up again for a 39-yard score. And then Daquan Griffin had a 42-yard run, and he had a 65-yard power return. So Bashir Bulls get the win in Erie. And that wraps it up, guys. So that wraps up the week 3 of Whippy Old Football, as we had some surprises, had some big games. As actually, before we go, we are going to bring up the stats to get the numbers. Okay, so I was running through some stat numbers that we didn't talk about. So, Marger had 209 rushing for TJ. McCoy Fish was 183 on the ground for Laurel. Stevenson ran for 159 in the loss for Mapletown. Hunter Lively had 146 for Shenango in defeat. Nate Deans, the star sophomore for Southland, ran for 140 yards. Malachi Dutro on 138 for Sarah Catholic. Yakimelli ran for 133 for Penn Trafford. Luke Bombaski, 133 for Highlands. Max Wicklund, 122 for Shadyside. Anthony Mackey, 120 for Shore Valley. Cruz Brook and Steel Valley had 116. Devin Flynn, 115 for Indiana. Stadler, 114 for Southside. Carter Green, 112 for Penn Trafford. Anthony Govern, 108 for Southmoreland. Kutch Kember, 105 for Quaker Valley. DeRosa, 104 for Laurel. And then passing wise, Mike Smith, Free State, threw for 291. Nick Buckley, 236 on loss for KO. Sickhead had 234 for North Catholic. These are the guys we did not already talk about, their performances. A solid threw for 230 in the loss for Cal. Voss threw for 186 for Mohawk. Haddock's 184 for New Brighton. Governed 170 for Southmoreland passing. Sam Miller 162 for Pierce Township. Brickner 153 for Beaver Falls. Timmons 152 for Highlands. Solinsky 144 for Freedom. Gavin Miller 144 for West A. Mackey 142 for Shore Valley. Antoine Johnson throws for 126 for Central Valley. Lutz 123 for South Fayette. That pretty much be that. Logan Johnson 103 for Kiski. Wicklund 103 for Shadyside. Top receivers: Brentwood's Mitchell Fox, 12 grabs for 158 yards. Maddie Essie of Hopewell, 11 for 100 yards. Prashawn Grant of Free State, 9 catches, 205 yards, and some touchdowns there. Tristan Waldeer, 8 for 73. Evan Pollitt, 7 for 93 from Bell Vernon. Kevin Drew, 7 for 73, touchdown for KO. Zach Godwood, 7 for 32 for LTD, had a rushing touchdown. Dante Capagna for Blackhawk, 6 catches, 70 yards. Quinn Kenny, Alex Samari, both 6 grabs, respectively, 71, 69 yards for KO. Spencer, 6 catches, 65 yards for West Day. Kate Smith, 6 for 97 for Eggman Regional. Keandre Williams, 6 for 75 for New Brighton. Shanafeld had 5 grabs, 72 yards for Pierce Township. Cinderella for Highlands, 5 catches for 100 yards. Trout had 5 grabs for 120 yards for Southmoreland. Duggar had 4 for 61 for Penn Hills. Curran Boyd for North Allegheny, 4 grabs, 75 yards. Stevens at 4 for 90 for Greensburg-Salem. Stewart at 4 for 84 for Carmichael's. Carrington at 4 for 99 for South A. Spencer 4 for 86 for Sarah. E.B. Bram 4 grabs, 77 yards for Shore Valley. And yeah, of course, touchdowns we talked about when we went through each game, so that was already covered. Those are just some stats. Again, those are the numbers that we didn't get during the games when we were going through. So that's that. So that wraps up week 3 of Whippy Old City League Football, as we'll talk later this week to preview week 4 coming up this Friday and Saturday, of course, as conference plays upon us, and it's go time, guys. As October is a week away, which is crazy to think about, and before you know it, it will be counting down to playoff time. That's just how time goes. But hope you guys enjoyed this. We'll talk later in the week, and again, check us out on our website, cover3athletics.wixsite.com/WestPA, and it's cover, the number 3 athletics in the address bar. Our Twitter is at cover3_ATH, it's capital C in cover, the number 3 underscore, and in all caps, ATH. Find Cover 3 Athletics on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. For more, again, we have our weekly podcasts that go over everything that happens, and we talk about Whippy Old City League Football, as well as player interviews and spotlights. We have our blog, Brentero's World of Sports, where we talk about and kind of highlight players or things in the Whippy Old. We also have our own power rankings, as well as our season guide available on our website, as well as links to the scoreboard and standings for Whippy Old Football, too. So with that being said, look for us on social medias, and we'll see you guys later in the week. Take care.